Hello and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we're getting part two of our chat with Stu Saunders. I hope you listened to the first part and enjoyed that. This part is a slightly different tack as we start talking a little bit more about Stu's life and what young people should be doing if they want to become great leaders in the future. As always, have a magical week. Yeah, thanks so much, Stu. I think what I like about this is I haven't really heard too much about this outside of this. So I feel like I'm really like learning a lot, and I think it's good. It's setting me up a little bit more for the future here. I might throw to Danette for a little bit of a change of pace. Danette, what is your question, and tell us a little bit about why you chose it.
Thanks, Jez. And Stu, I'm actually going to come to your point before I come to my question. I recently read a book called Stolen Focus, and they had an example in there of there's a group, and I can't remember their name, but we'll put it on the podcast so people can link to it, where they were going into schools and teaching kids to play. And they had this really, like, from my perspective, sad story where they put, you know, like pieces of paper and Lego blocks and stuff like that. And they said to the kids at this school, go play. And there was about three kids who ran straight in and started playing, and the others just stood there going,
what do we do?
I don't know what to do. And so, you know, one of the reasons we bought our farm was to let the kids run outside and disappear for the day down to the shearing shed. And, you know, they'd come back for lunch. Jack would come back with a wheelbarrow for lunch, and then he'd go back up and the kids would come home at dusk. And one of the points, and it comes to your thing, is people or parents are really scared of letting their kids have that unstructured play. But it's the point in the book was the unstructured play teaches them how to manage conflict, because if a kid's really bossy, the other kids will go, we don't want to play with you anymore. So it actually teaches, though, you know, the kids those beautiful skills. So, you know, to your point, what a great point. And yeah, we need to let the kids out there and just be kids. So I love that. So my question was, what has been your greatest leadership lesson that you've actually learned from working with young children, and why? So I'm just curious, because you've been doing this for such a long time, you're so passionate about it, what's it taught you?
I think it would be there's a number of small ones. The biggest one I would say is that look at this, people have lost they're off the podcast, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. The biggest lesson I've learned from young people, and it's reinforced that even after this pandemic, is that they are capable of doing more. They are capable. And I think that we can, if we put them in the right places, they will succeed. The earlier, the better. But they keep teaching, they keep showing me that when I have them here for two, when I get the kids for 2 weeks, typically is how long I have them here. I'm unprogramming them, and sounds a bit cultish. I don't mean to sound that, but I'm unplugging them is the better word. I'm unplugging them from and they slowly turn back into kids, and they can, when they're in the right environment and they're put in the right position and they're given the right situation, they do rise. And so I think every child in the world, wherever they're born, at whatever time in the history of the world, is born the exact same. No child is born racist. No child is born hating anything. No child is born judgmental. No child, they're not. Every child is born the same. And, you know, obviously environment changes things as they grow, but they're all born the same. And what we do as parents, in the first 5 years, children in their first 5 years of lives gather 80% of their character, who they'll be in their first 5 years of life. And so we shape that, but I still see that 20%. And when the good kids are always going to be good, and they're always going to shine, and they want to. And so when you put them in the right place, in the right environment, the right people, they still can do incredible things. So I still have faith. I just don't know how we're going to globally reset it, but I still have incredible faith that young people can grow into great leaders. I really do believe that, sincerely.
Thank you, Stu. So good to see you.
Awesome. Stu, well, I realized my question is pretty similar to Danette's, so I might just take a slightly different approach, and then we'll end with Mark's question. But you've done a fair bit of public speaking and a bit of stand-up as well. I've also done a little bit of stand-up comedy. And as you know, public speaking, as you mentioned before, is a very big fear of people. And I was just wondering, just sort of to look at your life a little bit, in terms of public speaking and maybe even a bit with the stand-up, that does have a lot of adversity to it, especially when you're starting out. Maybe I was just wondering if you could maybe reflect a little bit on that, because you're saying maybe young people need a bit more adversity. How has doing that and then public speaking for a long time, now you're doing this stuff, how did the adversity from that end up helping you today?
Well, I was certified in fourth grade. So there's that. That's the big one. But I would say that it's interesting. I would say that my career, I work a lot of, Didette and Graham will know this, but I work with a lot of corporate speakers. I run events for adults as well as young people. And I get to work with the divas, that is the corporate speaking world. And the best thing you can do for a corporate speaker who is the, you know, and I love them, it's my closest friends. My friend Greg Wells, for instance, one of my closest friends, and he always says when he sees me do anything, he's like, I don't know how you do it. The young people, I don't know how you work with, like, I don't know how you do it. And so for me as a public speaker, I always work with young people, and they're one of the most raw audiences. Young people see through the bullshit. And sorry for swearing, but they do. And so as a speaker, like, your audience is going to tell you when they're 14 years old, they're going to tell you if they don't believe you. They're going to tune you out in 2 seconds. And now 2022, they're going to put their earbuds in, or what do they call them, your AirPods, and they're going to go. They're gone. They couldn't care less about you. And they don't care about your degrees. They don't care the book you wrote. They don't care about anything. They just, like, if you're not going to make me laugh, you're not going to give me something that I can chew on and enjoy, I'm gone. And so for me, I always liked doing comedy. That was my thing. I was always the class clown, and I always loved doing comedy. So I decided that, rather than just going into a bar or a comedy club and doing comedy, I could do comedy with a message, comedy with a point. And so that was, and in front of a tough audience, you know, in a 1500, 2000 kids in a school gymnasium, is like being in a, you know, way different than being in the Ritz-Carlton somewhere, with people having Perrier, and, you know, it's just a very different world. And so I don't know if that answers your question at all. Literally, I'm just saying, like, if you want to become a better speaker, go talk to young people. That's my answer. You know, I just think they're honest judges of what you're saying. And my friend Phil Jones, who's a great speaker, wrote a book called Exactly What to Say. He said, "Stu, I want to come to one of your events." So we run this thing called the Ontario Student Leadership Conference. It's the largest high school conference in Canada, 2,500 high school students, 300 teachers. And Phil has spoken all over the world. He sold a million of his books, I think. He's a very, very successful speaker. I said, "You want to come? You can come. It's going to be different." "Oh, Stu, I'm a great speaker." And he went in and he spoke to 1,000 kids. When he came out of that room, it was like he'd gone to war. You know, the shirt's untucked, the tie's over here, hat's kind of like, you know, like, this is kind of came out like, what happened? You know, like, who's still alive? Did I make it out of there alive? And he came out and he goes, "I have to reevaluate everything I do as a speaker after talking to those kids. Everything. They don't care about the acronyms. They don't care about the five-step program. They don't care about that." And so that was great. The next day he went back and completely, he's a good speaker, will completely rework it. And he was great the next day. But he realized, like, wow, that's a different world. Anyway. Go in front of kids and talk. That I don't know if that helps at all. Sorry, Dan. I think I just went off a tangent. I'll be over here if you need me. I got a public speaking certificate.
Yeah, that's all right. I guess maybe you've actually probably refined my question a little bit as well, which is, I guess probably more broadly speaking, it's just to do with I guess, resilience. You're saying that, you know, even after years of doing this, and you've got professionals that have done this for ages, how do you have the resilience after maybe taking a bit of an L like that? Maybe for young people that might be listening and want to maybe do a little bit more of that sort of stuff, what might you say? Like, say you've gone up there and you've walked off and you look like you've just, you know, been flashbanged. What is what's a good way to sort of get back out there?
You know, it comes right back to what we're talking about with kids. Fail at it. You know, you'll know quickly if it works or not, and then reevaluate, rework. There's a lot of people out there doing programs, you know, sign up for my how to be a speaker program and you'll make six-figure income in our 10-week program. And I would say, you know, that I would never sell one of those programs. And I've spoken a lot, but I would say that to be a great speaker, to make great connections with an audience, if you're a young person, speak about something that you know and you love, and it's about you. Don't be a chicken soup for the soul speaker. And by that, I mean, don't tell other people's stories. An audience wants to hear your journey. They want to hear your story. They want to hear your ups, your downs, your failures, your successes. They want to hear that. They want to be able to relate to you. So when they come off the stage and they walk up to you and they say, wow, you know, Graham, that story you told is really amazing. I could tell it was important to you. And you can speak from the heart rather than saying, well, this is what X famous person did. This is what Mother Teresa did. This is what Steve Jobs did. This is what Martin Luther King did. This is what, you know, insert that. That you're just regurgitating a biography. So the best speakers in the world I've ever heard have the background of the stories, that they're their stories. I remember sitting with a speaker once, quick story, sitting with a speaker once, and he was at an event in North Dakota. I was speaking at a state student leadership conference, and he didn't know I was one of the speakers. And I was standing beside him, leaning against the wall in the hotel ballroom where we were speaking. And I said, who are you? Are you a teacher here? I knew he was a speaker, but I went in, you know, he didn't know who I was. And I said, so are you a teacher? He says, oh, no, I'm the speaker. I said, oh, what do you speak about? He said, I talk about risk-taking and you're getting over your fears. I said, oh, great. What do you do? He said, well, I'm a speaker. I talk about risk-taking and I talk about, I said, yeah, but what do you do? And he didn't know what I said. I said, what gives you the right to talk about that topic? Like why? Like, tell me your great risks. Tell me your great failures. Tell me your great ways you've overcome fear. And he said, well, I've got a system. And I was like, I will never hire you for an event as long as I live. Because I need to know that whatever it is you're talking about, you've been there in the trenches and you've overcome it and you've dealt with it. Those are the best speakers in the world. So if you're a young speaker, you want to speak before you take the 10-week program, if you're a speaker at any age, if you're 35 thinking, you know, I go to parties and everyone thinks I'm hilarious. You know, I'm great with a glass of wine in my hand, you know, but if that's what it is, that's great. But you better have something that is you. If I go to front of an audience and I talk about risk-taking, I mean, I literally built a business from nothing and I've lost so much. So every story I tell, I can say, yeah, I did it. You know, it took me 30 years to become an overnight success. So I can tell you the stories that got me there. So tell your own damn story and tell it and keep telling it and keep telling it. Yes, you'll have creative license. And yes, the story will get a bit different over time and it'll get a little bit more rich and a little, you know, you'll take things out and you'll add things in. That's storytelling. And basically being a speaker is being a great storyteller.
Awesome. Thanks so much for that, Stu. And now we've just got our final question from Mark, who isn't here today. And this is a nice little one to put a button on the end of this chat, which is, if you could give one piece of wisdom / advice to a young leader today, what would it be?
That quote I just said, it took 30 years to become an overnight success. So patience, keep trying. The person who has, for a young person, they judge a lot of their metric on the success they see on social media. And that person you see who has 35 million followers didn't have 35 million followers at the beginning. They had 4. And, you know, so you see the polished product, but know that it took time and patience and it took energy and it took, you know, it took doing more than you think you probably can do, but you probably can do it. And I just say to leaders, like, and the other one, the bar is be kind and be kind to people and do more than, I always tell my staff, do more than you're expected to do. Even if it's 10% more, the bar is so low right now that 10% seems like 1,000% more. The bar is so low. Like if I say, take the garbage out to somebody, like we have a, you know, big team here. I say, take the garbage out. And if they take the garbage out and then replace the garbage bag, that's 10% more. Like if I say, take the garbage out if I don't have to say replace it, holy smokes, I will like tell all the other managers here, like, did you see what John did? He took the garbage bag and then he put a new one in. And then we're talking about like, I think he should be the director. I think he should be running the place. Did you see what he did? Like, give him the gold star, the crown, the helmet, whatever he wears. Do more than expected, have patience, and be ridiculously kind. My favorite quote is, be the kindest person you can be and the world will come to you. So just be ridiculously kind to people. My last story I'll tell is why I love Graham and Danette so much is we were running our first global student leadership summit. We had 2,000 kids from 17 different countries at this event. And I'm running around this huge, we're at this big massive convention center, and I'm running around trying so hard to get stuff done. And you know, you're running an event and it's the first one of its type. And we got people flying in from around the world and all these logistics. And I run down to talk to our student leaders. And suddenly I walk into this room and there's Graham and Liv. And they're just sitting there, standing there as if it was no big deal. And I'm like, but you live in Australia. Like, how are you here? And it wasn't set up. I didn't know what was happening. It was one of the kindest things anyone's ever done for me. And it just their presence was incredible, which is why I will forever be grateful for these people to be in my life. And I would do anything for them. And so I think that's what you be kind to people and they'll do more for you and help you throughout life and your business and your speaker, whatever you want to do.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Stu, for your time today. It's been amazing. And I want to thank you so much. It's been such a great podcast, so much info in there and stuff. And I can't wait to listen back and take it all down. I might just quickly send it around the room and just some final thoughts from everybody. And I might start with Danette and Graham just on growing young leaders, just your final thoughts on the chat today as well.
I hope that I hope the whole world of parents listen to this and let their kids have a little bit more freedom and let them fail, because it is true. When they fail, they learn. They learn that resilience. So, and I can I just say that was stupendous.
You can say that. You can say that.
Did you want to?
No. I wonder whether there's, I love the fact that you got on this call in the middle of running summer camp. Talk about kindness. I could talk to you all day about all of this stuff, but at the end of the day, talking doesn't help much and we need to do things. But I wonder whether we need to teach parents to stop being selfish, because I wonder whether on a level, decisions to mow the lawn for the kids so they don't have to walk through the high grass is not so much about the children, it is about the parents not feeling bad themselves. And maybe it's time we stop being selfish and actually started thinking about our kids. Mm-hmm. But Stu, love you. Thank you.
Yeah, we love you.
The kids do this. I can't do it. They do this. I can't do it. But I love you too.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. John, I'll throw to you. Just any final thoughts on the chat today or just growing young leaders?
Yeah, a couple of thoughts came to me, and it's what does it mean for training, so ML in terms of training? I mean, you know, Stu talked about that resiliency and the confidence, decision-making skills. I mean, if we're losing that, then, you know, to me there are opportunities in terms of training, opportunities or skill sets that we need to be providing. But look, Stu, I love the fact that, yeah, kick the kids out of the house, let them go play in the dirt, let them go eat worms. And kids, don't be afraid of hard work. Yeah, there's no such thing as an overnight success. It, as Stu said, it takes 30 years. And, you know, I commend you for the work that you've done with the kids over the time. So thank you. There's a lot to unpack in all that.
Awesome. Thanks for that, John. I'll throw to you, Alan, just some final thoughts on the chat today and Stu and growing young leaders.
Thank you so much for your time today, Stu. I've learnt so much. And I guess as a parent, my key takeaway is to be kind, and it's to be kind to myself and to my wife as we, I guess, feel uncomfortable letting our children have a go at things and failing. Mm-hmm. I really relate to what Graham says. It's not so much about the children. It's tough for us to see our children go to school when they don't have the latest phone. You know, I believe what they say when they say, you know, I need to have this because all of my friends have got it. And yet it's not something they need to change. It's something that, you know, as parents, we need to change. So thanks, Stu.
Awesome. And thanks for that, Alan. That was awesome. Liv, I see you've got some guests there as well. Any final thoughts on the chat today and just growing young leaders?
Yeah, I think for me, as a parent, especially of two young ones, it's allowing myself to sit in the discomfort and to be uncomfortable when they're upset, you know, or uncomfortable, because building that resilience is really important. So whilst it might be uncomfortable for me, it's important for them to be able to find their way through it.
Awesome. Thanks, Liv. And just thank you to everybody that was on the podcast today, all our regulars, Liv and Stu. And Stu, any final thoughts on the chat today?
I want to have a final thought too, as I don't want to take over here. But I have two quick final thoughts. One of them is on I have a big whiteboard. My office is a mess, right? This looks so good, but if I showed you the rest of it, it'd be crazy. But over here, I have a big whiteboard, which I do. And there's a written on the bottom of the whiteboard is a note from Liv before you left. And you said, thank you for inspiring me to dream, dare, do. See you all soon. Love and hugs, Liv. You wrote it in permanent marker and I can't get it off. So my final thought is, could you not have used, I'm just kidding, but you did write it in permanent marker. I can't get it off the board. But I look at that every day. So Liv, you're literally every day I look at you and there you are. Like there's your note from you every day. The other one is a real quick story. And just, I don't want parents to give up hope. I feel like I may have said too many things that were like the end of the apocalyptic, like children are all going to explode tomorrow or something. And I feel really bad about that, maybe in a way. But we had a group here of kids. We work with schools too during the school year, and they come here to the camp and they do programs with us. We work with about 4,000 kids in the spring and the fall. And we had a group of kids here, eighth grade kids, about 13, 14 years old. And they didn't do very well. They brought alcohol with them to the camp, and it was a bad thing. It doesn't matter. It was really bad. And I felt very disenchanted with young people when this happened. Parents had to come pick up their children one by one. And it was a whole day of my life spent trying to like deal with the situation. And as I walked out of the dining hall, we have a campus, big dining hall, and I walked out and I was in a bad space. Actually, like, why am I doing this? These kids are all, like, why'd they come to our camp? Like they're bringing, and one kid brought non-alcoholic wine. Like that kid when I felt bad for him, he still got suspended. But they were all told to bring stuff from home, and he brought a bottle of non-alcoholic wine. I'm like, oh, poor kid. Like at least you could have brought something that was anyway. But I felt very I felt bad about it. And so I'm walking out of our dining hall, and Liv will know we have basketball courts. There's a hill and it goes up into our offices, and I'm walking across the road and there's a little boy going, Stu, 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 like just my name over and over again, Stu, Stu. And I can't see him, I don't know where he is. And I turned around quickly and I realized he was this is a young boy, 13 years old, on all fours in front of me, dirty. We have a gravel road into our camp, and I said what? And I just snapped at him, which is not like me, and I said what? And he said, look, it's the sparkly rock, look. And I was like, what? And he's like, I found the sparkly rock, it's a gravel road. I said what? He went, look, it's sparkly. And and he said, do you want it? And I literally said yes. And so this sparkly rock, I keep on my shelf behind me right here like this. And it reminds me of why I do what I do, because there's still kids through all the crap that want to find sparkly rocks. And so that's my motivational talk at the end.
Well, that's a beautiful way to end it, Stu. Thank you so much. For people that may want to find out some more stuff from you, whereabouts can they find you?
You can find me on the Instagrams, that's the kids call it, YLCC Stu. That's my Instagram. We do have a website, ylcc.com. It's being changed. The sad part of the story is our camp's closing this year. So we will close October 30th after 30 years of doing this. And so you can go to ylcc.com. It's changing. We're changing our name of our organization to Peregrine. And Peregrine is the falcon that's on our camp mascot. That's the Peregrine. So if you look at a YLC leader, ylcc.com will find all the information. Eventually we'll direct you to what we do now, all the conferences, events, and training we do for young people and for adults.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Stu. We appreciate the time. We're going to let you get back to running around and finding some sparkly rocks. We all really appreciate you. We all are so happy you're on today. And to all the other people that were on today, John, Graham, Danette, Liv, and Alan, thank you so much as well. And as always, everybody, have a magical week.